The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible and go back. Let's re-look at those verses for just a moment. We read a moment ago in the book of Romans chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he have whereof to glory, but not before God." In verse 3, the Bible says, "For the Scripture..." Now watch what it says, for what saith the Scripture? So here's the question: if he's not glorified by doing that which is a work or something that he would do himself whereby he would become justified, then the question has to come back, for what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now I want to speak this morning on which way to heaven. Which way to heaven? You know, for many years, of course, I've been preaching over 30 years now, being a preacher. 12 of those 30 years, however, I was not a pastor, an assistant pastor. I was an evangelist, and I travel around the nation, my family and I, and of course, we would preach in different churches all over, different states, of course, different countries and whatnot. Many times, of course, we would pick out a road map. We would open the map up, and we would be able to see exactly where to go. And then we found the thing on the internet was called MapQuest, and so we'd print out the instructions before we left. And then, of course, the GPSs came into play, and we started using a GPS where you could actually punch your destination into the GPS and be able to go that way. And then smartphones came out. And the smartphones, of course, you would be able to take your phone, and then, of course, Siri was added to the iPhone package that they had, and you could actually speak into it, and it would begin to map out where you wanted to go once you press start. Now, can I say, a smartphone will help you getting instructions and helping you to know the way to go, and this morning, you have a smart Bible. And the Bible would teach you exactly where you can be able to obtain heaven as far as going to be with God and how you will need to be able to chart your course to be able to wind up in that destination. Now, what is it that a person needs to do in order to be able to go to heaven? Which way do we need to trust to be able to go to heaven? I want to give you three things to consider this morning. And by the way, these are three philosophies that's out there that you're going to hear taught around the nation. You're going to hear taught in different churches. And so is there a right definition to that which is definingly helping us to understand the way to heaven? Is there two ways to heaven? Is there three ways to heaven? Is there something that I need to do an addendum to something else that would make sure that I would make it to heaven? Is there one way to heaven? And if there is one way to heaven, what is that one way to heaven? Is there a church involved? Is there a religious activity that needs to be involved? Is it something that I need to straighten up in my life in order to be able to wind up, if you will please, in heaven one day? Is there a who involved? Is there someone involved that I need to consider so that one day I would be able to go to heaven? Now, this morning, we're not going to use a road map. This morning, we're not going to use a GPS, and we're not going to use a smartphone. But as I mentioned, we have a smart Bible. And so because of that, we're going to use the Bible this morning to be able to show us definitely what a person needs to understand and what a person needs to do in order to be able to go to heaven. Let me give you a philosophy, and if you'll get that illustration out for me. And Alex, would you come right up here and stand right up here, if you will, and I'm going to get some of our young men, both younger and older, to be able to help me to demonstrate what the Bible teaches about the way to go to heaven. See, there's one philosophy out there this morning that's a prevalent philosophy that you hear that's commonly accepted by those around the world, and it is called, you know how to use a shovel? Why don't you demonstrate just a little bit how to use a shovel? Okay, all right, there you go. Kind of like you're going to shovel it. You know, is that how you shovel it? Here's what I'd do. I think I'd grab that thing just like so, and I would just kind of shovel a little bit, just like so. Can you do that? All right, now watch this. Okay, and so here's what we understand. We understand this, that there is that which is a work type of salvation. Now, what does it mean to work your way to heaven? Some people rely on deeds. That would be considered a work. Don't hit Brother Nash in the head, please. Some people rely on a performance, and they tried to be able to go to heaven because of those things. Just take it easy for a little bit there, Alex, and you're making those guys nervous. And so we understand this, that some people rely on a baptism to get them to heaven. Some people rely on a performance of a good deed in order to get them to heaven. Some people rely on taking a communion in order to get them to heaven. Some people rely on keeping one of the seven sacraments in order to be able to make sure that they'll go to heaven. Some people rely on joining a church, and they say, if I join the right type of church, then certainly I'll be able to go to heaven. Some people rely on maybe the Ten Commandments, or keeping one or two or three of the Ten Commandments that they would find in Exodus chapter 20, and they say, if I do that, certainly I will be able to merit heaven. But yet the Bible teaches here about this philosophy that would be an all work philosophy. In other words, a person is saying, I have to do this in order to get this, and this that I'm doing is a work in order to obtain this, which is heaven. Now the Bible teaches over in the book of Romans chapter 3 and in verse 20, the Bible says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So do we need the law? Do we need the Bible? Yes, we do. Because it's the Bible, it is the law that shows us our need of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches here over in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 28, therefore, it says, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So here's a person, shovel just a little bit, here's a person that is trying to do something in order to obtain heaven. Maybe they're up working around the church. Maybe they're up planting a flower bed. Maybe they're up there and they're trying to do something themselves. This could be an example of baptism. This could be an example of joining a church. This could be an example, if you would, of trying to keep one of the Ten Commandments, two or three of the Ten Commandments, the seven sacraments, or any other thing that a person would do in order to be able to obtain heaven. But yet the Bible says in Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 16, the Bible says, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith, it says, of Jesus Christ. It says, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith, the faith of Christ, not by works of the law. For the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So the Bible teaches that by the works of the law, we cannot be justified. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3 and in verse 4, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And so the Bible teaches that no matter how much a person works, no matter how often a person works, no matter what a person does symbolically to be able to obtain that which is heaven, to be able to go to that place that's called heaven, they'll never be able to work enough. They'll never be able to obtain it through works. Why? Because the Bible teaches that by works, a man is not going to be justified. But yet that's a prevalent philosophy that is known around the world. You have people that will be up and they will say that you are justified because you give a certain amount of money. You are justified because you've been baptized in deep water. You are justified because you have been sprinkled. You are justified because you keep one of the Ten Commandments, two or three of the Ten Commandments. You are justified in the sight of God because you have joined a certain type of church. But yet the Bible clearly teaches us that a man is not justified by that which is the works of the law. A man is not justified by keeping that which is the law. Now wait a minute, there's also that, give me a chair right here, Brother Butler, and set it right there, and give me, I'll tell you what, Brother Nash, you come and sit, bring your Bible. And so there's also another philosophy that teaches this, and that is, it's all by grace. It's all by faith. Now, the problem with using the word philosophy is because this is not just something that is a philosophy. This is the exact, identical teaching of the Word of God. Shamefully speaking, however, some people look at it as only a philosophy. A philosophy that I will accept, a philosophy I won't accept, a philosophy I might partially agree with, and I'll show you why some people agree partially with it and not wholly. But let's discuss this, if you will, please, as a Bible truth. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So here's a person opens the Bible, which is the final authority for all man. As he opens the Bible, he begins to see that the Bible teaches us some very clear truths. He begins to see that these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. All right, so the Bible teaches that it is through these things. This is the record that God have given to us eternal life. So I can know for sure I'm going to go to heaven, not by that which is the works of the law, but I can know for sure I'm going to go to heaven according to what is written in the Word of God. Now, I thank God for people that get it straight, preach it straight, teach it straight. I thank God for that. But may I tell you this morning that it is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only that a person can go to heaven. See, here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 28, the Bible says, "Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." So the Bible teaches, the Word of God teaches us a Bible truth. The Bible truth is this, that I can and I will be justified by faith, without the works of the law, without the fruit of the law, without the keeping of the law. Now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. So a person can be justified without being baptized. A person can be justified without keeping that which is an adherence to a communion. A person can be justified without keeping the sacraments. A person can be justified without being a church member. A person can be justified without tithing. A person can be justified simply by putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, I've got good news for you. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus Christ did not die without you in mind. When Jesus Christ shed His blood on Calvary and He paid the price that you and I owe as sinners undone, He did that with you and with me and the world in mind. And so we are justified not by the works of the law, but we are justified by our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 24, the Bible says, listen to it now, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For the Bible says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." Listen to it now. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth the manner of the man that he was." And so what is the Word of God? The Word of God is a mirror. I look into the mirror and I see. I can look into that which is a church organization, and if the church teaches works, I feel good. I can look into the mirror of that which is a man that gets up and he preaches or he teaches, and he might teach or preach with great vigor, and it seems like a degree of intelligence and with great energy and with great persuasion. And if he preaches that which is a work salvation, I may be in an agreement. But when it comes down to it, dear friend, it's not what the preacher says. When it comes down to it, it's not what the church demonstrates. When it comes down to it, it is what the Bible shows to be true. That's why the Bible says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." So God teaches us that we do not need to rely on others that would present a type of truth, but we rely on that which is the teaching of the Word of God. And when the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, I tell you this morning, you can believe God. The Bible teaches, however, that there is some that, believe it or not, they do believe both. There's people all through down, that which is generations that have believed both. Now, by the way, are you listening to me? A person that believes both, they're going to tire themselves out and still die and go to a devil's hell. Because even our Lord said this in John chapter 14 and verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So he didn't say I'm one of the ways. So there's not two ways to heaven, but there is some people that do believe that. Come here, David. Just leave your Bible, but come here. David's a young man. He's got energy. He can help me. So here's a young man. Work a little bit. Don't get in front of him. He's going to shovel. Just slow and easy. Okay? So here's somebody goes out, and they really want to go to heaven. So they come across this guy, and this guy says, well, I tell you what, here's how you go to heaven. You work, and if you're good enough, you might make it. If you do this, you may make it. And so he gets convinced that you should work a little bit. So he begins to work in his life. And all of a sudden, here comes somebody who cares about him. And says, hey, I want you to come over here and listen to this person that's going to tell you about truth. So he lays down his work for a little bit, and he runs over to this one over here that has a Bible. And the one over here that has a Bible, by the way, this is the pillar of all truth, the foundation on which we establish our goings. It is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so he hears that this is the way. I need to receive Jesus. Then he gets over here back around to where his friend is. And his friend says, oh no, you need to go to church. You need to do this. In order to go to heaven, you need to do this. And so he works a little bit. Then all of a sudden, somebody comes knocking on the door. And here's what he does. He runs back over here. And he says, well, I tell you what. Yes, I know I need to receive Jesus Christ. But I'm going to trust Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be baptized. Well, I'm going to trust Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be good. Well, I'm going to take and be good. I'm going to be baptized, and trust, and I'm going to trust the sacraments, and I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to make Jesus Christ one of my gods because I'm Hindu, and I'm going to. Sounds like a rough way to live. Amen. Hey, don't you thank God this morning that when a person is saved, they're saved through faith, by grace, in Jesus Christ, period. Amen. That's why the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what the Bible teaches, it's grace, not plus baptism. It is grace, not plus obedience. It is grace, not plus perseverance. It is grace, not plus works. It is grace, not plus church membership. It is grace, not plus trying to hold out faithful to the end. It's Christ and Christ alone. Wait, Romans chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, for if by grace, listen to it, for if by grace, then it is no more of works. Now here's what God says. God said, if it's truly by grace, then it's no more of this. It is absolutely no more this. Now, I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm glad that because I'm saved, God has placed a desire in my heart as a believer in Jesus Christ to serve Him. But serving Him does not help to render salvation. Salvation is rendered through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ only. See, here's what the rest of that verse says. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 6, he says, and if by grace, the Bible says, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be, it says, of works, then it says it is of no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So what God is saying is, if you believe it's work, then it is a none effect when it comes to grace, because grace stands alone. You cannot mix them both. So a person says, well, I need to receive Jesus Christ and be baptized, and I will go to heaven. Only problem with that is that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Everlasting life is not in baptism. Everlasting life is not in being good. Everlasting life is not in going to church. Everlasting life is not tithing. Everlasting life is not being good. Everlasting life is summed up in one person, and that one person is Jesus Christ. So when I receive Jesus Christ, I receive everlasting life. Why? Because Jesus Christ is everlasting life. That's why he can emphatically say what I said a moment ago in Romans, or John chapter 14 and verse 6, where he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Because he is the only way. He is in totality the way. So it's not him and another way. Thank you. Be seated, if you will. Give that to Brother Palmore, if you will. So here's what we understand. We understand that there is a philosophy. By the way, three philosophies, one a Bible truth. There's the philosophy that a person is saved by all works. There is the philosophy, however, we as believers understand in the Bible that this is more than a philosophy. This is a Bible truth. And the Bible truth is this: saved by faith in Jesus Christ. God alone saves. Then there's the philosophy, you got to do both. So you run back and forth. Well, I think I need to do this. Well, I think I do this. I think I do this. And I think I do this. And I think I do this. No, 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 no. Just settle it. Once you receive Christ as Savior, hey, I'm telling you this morning on the authority of the Word of God, once you receive Christ, saved forever. Amen. Let me show you what happens at the point of salvation. Let me just give you a couple closing thoughts. Statement number one. When you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, God himself justifies you. God himself justifies you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 1, the Bible says, therefore being justified, listen to it, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is the one that justifies. Romans chapter 5 and in verse 9, the Bible says, much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith, not by works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3, the Bible says, Christ died for our sins according to the gospel or the scriptures. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. All right, so what happens? When I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, here's what I understand. God justifies me. Not only that, here's what happens when I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. He forgives my sin. That last verse, forgiveness of sin. So not only does he take and justify me, he forgives my sin. Acts chapter 10 and verse 43, the Bible says, whosoever believeth in him, it says, shall receive remission of sins. So God says, when you receive my Son as your Savior, here's what's going to happen. I personally am going to justify you, not by the works of the law, But I am going to justify you because of your faith in Jesus Christ. I am going to justify you because you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. So what happens at the very split second that you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, God of heaven looks down and says, justify. Yeah. Not only does he justify, here's what he does. He forgives. Oh, but you understand, preacher, how could God forgive me? I can tell you how God can forgive you, because God is rich in mercy. Amen. And his forgiveness is not shortened by man. Well, I've done this, thus, and so. I could never be forgiven. Your this, thus, and so is not bigger than that which is the forgiving grace and the withholding judgment through mercy of an almighty God. What happens? Here's what he does. When you receive Jesus Christ, he justifies you. He forgives you. Statement number three, I'm hurrying. God blots out your sins. I love this. This is so good. You ready? Acts chapter 3 and in verse 19, the Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted. It says that your sins be blotted out. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now wait, what happens when a person receives Jesus Christ? God blots out your sin through his son's blood. Your sins are blotted out. Now, I love this. You ready? It gets better than this. Because not only does, don't you wish we were this way? You know, now, sometimes we are. How many of you have ever laid down your keys and you forgot where you put them? Raise your hand. Okay, how many of you have children? How many of you have children? And here's what happened. One day you left the child at the store, at the restaurant, and you had to turn around and go back and get them. You left them at home, whatever. Any of you ever do that? Okay, there's three of us. God bless us. Have you ever done this? Have you ever forgotten anything? I mean, you know, you forgot maybe the keys, maybe the child, maybe paying a bill. Maybe you were out door knocking and you're trying to represent the Lord, invite somebody to church, and you said, hi, my name is, and you forgot who you were going with. Or you're trying to introduce your children, you forgot their names. Or worse than that, you mixed them up. Okay, now wait a minute, watch this. This is so good. You're going to like this. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25, the Bible says, listen to what it talks about here. He's talking about the Lord. He says, will not remember thy sins. He said, look, I'm going to tell you, when I forgive you, I truly forgave you. Here, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34, the Bible says, I will remember their sin no more. No more. Say, my wife needs to read that. My husband needs to read that. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, the Bible says, I will remember their sin no more. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, I will remember their sin no more. So why does God keep saying that over and over again? Might be because some people's hard-headed. Might be because he says, well, you know, I need to put it in different places of the Bible just so that as they're reading their Bible, they're always reminded that I'm just not going to remember their sin. Now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. So many times in the Bible, God is saying, I'll tell you what, okay, here's what happens. I come to him, you ready for this? I come to him, I ask for forgiveness. I ask him to come to my heart, forgive me my sin, be my Savior. Wow, at that split second in time, here's what happens. God writes my name in the book of life. Bible says sealed onto the day of redemption. That's what the Bible talks about, everlasting life. You say, preacher, I tell you what, I'm just having a hard time believing that. I know, because we live in such a work society. You got to work hard in order to get it, then work even harder in order to keep it. But can I tell you, we have a God this morning that loves you, sent his son to shed his blood, to die for you, went to the grave, rose victorious over sin, death, and the devil. And victory is not in what I do. Victory is in what Jesus Christ has done. And when I receive Jesus Christ as Savior, He washes away that sin. He gives me eternal life. Eternal life is only in the Son. Amen. Only in the Son. So when you see people over here, and boy, they say, well, I tell you what, I'm really trying to go to heaven. I'm trying. Man, I'm just trying so hard. Man, I got to get baptized again because I sinned. I got to read the Bible at least 20 chapters a day because I'm not going to make it. I got to keep the sacraments. I've just got to be good and keep as many of the Ten Commandments as I can. I got to be good to my neighbor and help them across the street even if I don't like them. And they're working. Then we come to a Bible truth, and I love this. By grace, through faith, Jesus Christ only. And I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I come to Him and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve heaven. I know if I got what I rightfully deserve today, if I were to drop dead, I'd drop off into the pit of hell. But I come to you the best way out of how, and I ask you to forgive my sin. I ask you today to be my Savior. Give me eternal life as I fully trust you today. And by the way, when I do that, He saves me, gives me eternal life, writes my name in the book of life, seals it onto the day of redemption. But there is some crowd out there that do believe. Well, yeah, I need to receive Jesus, and I need to receive Jesus plus. Oh, no, dear friend, please don't be mistaken. God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son just for you. He wants you to receive His Son.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.